Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Jenison, Michigan. I'm glad you joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging.
I imagine many of you heard someone say this, "I'm never going back to church." Those people at that church are mean and they're evil. They hurt me. About 20-some years ago, we started an Opie church in Kentwood, and one of the things we did as we were starting, we would go door-to-door and we'd ask people if they attended a church. If they said they did, we'd say, "Well, great, we're starting a church. We don't want to steal people, but we're looking for people who don't go to church." And there were a lot of people who said they didn't attend church. So we'd ask them a follow-up question. We'd say, what do you think you or your friends who don't attend church, what are the reasons they don't go? I'll be honest, I was shocked to hear how many people say, "We don't go to church because we were hurt." And some of them told us horrendous stories. If you would hear them tonight, you would be in tears. Some of the stories that they told us, members and leaders of churches who were mean, even criminal, kind of like what Ezekiel said, brutal to the people of God's family, Christ's body. So how do we help people who have left the church because they were hurt? How do we love them back to Christ and back to the pews here at Cedar? I want you to turn with me your Bibles to Luke 17. Luke 17, beginning verse 3. Let's listen to God's word this evening. Jesus said, "If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times a day, and seven times come back to you saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive them." The apostle said, "Lord, increase our faith." He replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you. Suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, 'Oh, come along now, sit down and eat'? Won't he rather say, 'Prepare my supper. Get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink, and after that you may eat and drink'? Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We're unworthy servants. We've only done our duty.'" Luke 17. Jesus gave his disciples the heads up. People in the church will hurt you. If you didn't get the memo before, Jesus is saying, okay, folks, listen carefully. Sin is inevitable. Your brothers and sisters here at Cedar Church or wherever you attend church, there will be injury, there will be hurt, there will be offense. The question is, what are you going to do? When it happens, what will you do? Well, number one, you could quit like so many people have done. Those people, and you can fill in the name of the church, they didn't care how they hurt me. No one called me when I left. No one pursued me. So I'm done with that bunch of losers. Or you could do what the early church did when they had offense. In Acts chapter 6, the church, folks, is brand spanking new. Some of the new baby Christians are sinning against one another. We read in Acts chapter 6, it says, "The Hellenistic Jews among them complained about the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food." Now, some of you might be saying, especially kids, "I don't get it. What's this offense?" Maybe put it in different terms. Let's just say different ethnic groups. Let's just say the Hispanic Christians of West Michigan are complaining, "Hey, the Dutch Christians of West Michigan are overlooking our widows in the church." There was favoritism in the early church. There were widows who were starving because people chose to choose one ethnicity over another. The Hellenistic Jews, they were those who came from all over the Roman Empire who were converted into Judaism, and now they believed in Jesus. They were grafted in to the church and into that Judaism by a profession of faith. It wasn't by birth. The Hebraic Jews, they were blood descendants of Abraham. If you did a DNA swab, they could say, see, I'm from that tribe. It was like Paul in Philippians where he says, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews, tribe of Benjamin, circumcised on the eighth day. He had bragging rights. But once he came to know Jesus, he says, I consider all those things I bragged about dung, it's manure. Jesus is surpassing worth. But these widows who had this pure pedigree, the Hebrew, Hebraic Jews, they were shown favoritism in the church. It's flat-out bigotry, a pride in the early church. A starving Christian widow is a starving Christian widow, no matter what ethnicity. It was an offense. Talk about a vulnerable group. Talk about God's outrage, what we read in Ezekiel before. This is an emotional offense. A widow was starving because people were proud. But look at how the church resolved that conflict instead of people leaving and splitting. The apostles took the lead and they decided we're going to address this neglect, we're going to address this bigotry. They chose seven men, and if you look at the names, these are not Hebrew names. We're putting some men in charge who will make sure that there will no longer be favoritism. There won't be those who, just because of their bragging rights, their genealogy, they get first dibs or they get privilege. Here's the point, brothers and sisters, if someone offends you, if a ministry here in the church has done you wrong or neglected you, if your leaders failed to give you the proper attention to your soul, please do not run off in your hurt. Talk to one of your elders, just like they brought the complaint to the apostles, and explain how you've been offended. Don't assume that we know what your problem is or why this is emotionally charged for you. Talk to your leaders. Follow the pattern of the early church. Bring your complaints and offenses to your leaders. Don't leave or don't cause schisms behind the scene by slandering until we finally get the message. Tell one of your shepherds about your hurt. Number two, keep in mind that you're not the only one who's been hurt. When the church has hurt us, guess what? The temptation is to have a pity party. I've had a pity party before. Some of you have too. You feel sad for yourself. You feel bad about it. It's like if you were born 1963, Leslie Gore, some of you heard her song. It's my party and I'll cry if I want to. If I'm unhappy about what people have done, I'm going to be upset. Problem with pity parties is we don't invite anybody else unless they commiserate with us and feel bad for us. We don't want them to drag us out of that self-pity. Folks, I want to burst that bubble. The church has hurt not just you, it has hurt other people too. And what's even more grievous, it has hurt and offended God, your Savior, your Heavenly Father. And yet look at his reaction. Your Heavenly Father remains committed to you. Do you get that? God didn't run off and exit when we hurt him. Now, there was a time where it appeared that God would do that. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, we read this. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that, listen to this verb, this adjective, every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It's nonstop sin. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The Lord said, I will blot out man, whom I've created, from the face of the earth. You think we don't hurt God or haven't hurt God? And it was mostly the covenant people, those who were already calling on the name of the Lord, who started marrying unbelievers, and it made God furious. His own people were betraying him. And so he brought the flood, but the good news is he spared the small household of Noah to repopulate the earth. So why? So Jesus could be born, and he could save a multitude of people for God's glory. If the church hurts you, guess what? It also hurts Jesus, the bridegroom. In Ephesians 5, Paul says that the church is all wrinkled and stained and blemished. It's ungodly, it's unholy, Yet Christ is committed to daily loving the hurtful church, to make her holy, to cleanse her by using his word. Jesus just didn't die on the cross to make purification for your sins and then sits in heaven, waits and looks at his clock and says, when is it time to come back? Rapture the church, bring them home to me. Every day he gives himself for you, for me, and he knows what we're like. We fall still so far short, and he works through his word to sanctify us. So when you hurt, don't have a knee-jerk reaction to exit, to leave. Respond like Jesus, who is committed to loving his church by daily washing her clean. You could be a sanctifying effect on the church. If you got a real offense, help the church to grow. Help the church to mature, to reform. Now, some of you are going to say, but Pastor, I'm not God. I can't love and forgive like him. Well, that sounds strange, because I think I've read something about this in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, be perfect like your heavenly Father is perfect. The context there is for you to love. Jesus said, don't just love those who love you. What reward is that? How are you like him? Love those who don't love you, those who have been mean or cruel or unkind. Greet those, not just who are your bosom buddies at church, but greet those that have put you down at some time or said something injurious or haven't shown you hospitality. Love them. But it's not just God who remains committed when his church hurts him. Most of its leaders and members do that as well. Last week I had a session meeting with our elders in Kentwood at Meadow Springs, and I told them when I was preaching on this upcoming Sunday, and one of our elders said this. He said, if hurt was a reason to leave the church, I have 1,000 excuses to leave today. I could have left a long time ago. I've been betrayed. I've been lied about. So much hurt. But we remain committed because we love the flock. If you haven't read through 1 and 2 Corinthians lately, I want to remind you the Apostle Paul knew hurt from the church. In 1 Corinthians, he talked about how the church was so loving towards the Apostle Peter. He was their favorite. They supported him financially when he came to visit. They put him up and his wife. But when it came to Paul and Barnabas, he says, why is it that nobody supports us? We are preaching the gospel for free. That's not how it should be. In 2 Corinthians 11, Paul reminds him of this. He says, I preach the gospel to you without charge. Why? Because I'm not eloquent? Because I'm not a great pastor? Because those cult leaders are better and more attractive to follow? He says, it's because I've loved you. The church at Corinth hurt the Apostle Paul. And yet Paul continued to love them and even work for them for free. So why don't you love the people that have hurt you? Or why about those people who have left our churches? Why didn't they love the people that hurt them? Keep loving those who hurt, betray, and even abuse you. That's what God does. That's what Paul does. Number 3, why should hurts in the first place make people want to leave? I think 2 big things: bitterness, self-protection. When somebody hurts me, my sinful response is to hate them, to loathe them, to despise them. And if that's the case, if my heart has that harboring of all that yuck, I'm not going to pursue friendship and hospitality with somebody who's done things that are evil to me. Our natural instinct is to protect ourselves from a repeat offense. We go into self-protection, survival mode. In the book of Proverbs, it says, an offended brother is harder to approach than a fortified city. Kids, you like castles? It's kind of like if a husband and wife are fighting. The wife decides, boy, I don't want to get hurt by my husband again. She goes in the bedroom, locks the bedroom door, doesn't want to talk to him, doesn't want to open the door. Because why? I don't want him to say something else that's going to injure me. I've gone into the castle. I pulled up the drawbridge. There's a moat out there with crocodiles, and no one's going to talk to me again like that. And we sometimes do that in the church. When you withdraw and isolate yourself, you are depriving yourself of one of God's greatest gifts, fellowship with one another. I appreciate Pastor Steve's message a few weeks ago on the fellowship of the saints. Being a Christian is not just having this fellowship with you and God, this vertical relationship, and forget everybody else because that's not important. It's just me and God. In 1 John 1:3, it says that the church's fellowship is not just with God, but it's with each other and God. The church's fellowship is meant to bless you, to be a strength, to be a comfort, to bear your burdens. Old Testament Psalm 133 says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity." God not only wants to draw us to himself through the gospel, but towards one another. He wants to reconcile himself to us, but to each other, and restore a good relationship with one another. But bitterness, self-protection, it's going to rob you of God's greatest gift of fellowship. But our fellowship together also glorifies God. In Ephesians 3:21, Paul wrote, "To God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." People who leave the church's fellowship because they're hurt, they rob God of glory in the church. They don't want to come back to the church. They feel maybe even God has left the church. God's goodness has left them. That's not true, because somebody hurt you. God's plan, God's design is always to receive glory through you people. If you've been hurt, reconciled, don't keep on robbing God of glory in the church. God is never leaving his church. God wants to receive glory through Cedar until he returns for every generation. I love one of the scriptures in the Old Testament too. It's the scriptures say that God is enthroned on the praise of his people. Yeah, you can praise God at home alone and watching TV or listening to Christian radio, but it's through his people together, us jointly together. Number four, I want to preface this by telling you this story. One of my friends, he has a niece who does sign language for her pastor's sermons, and just made me think about, you can hear without actually having ears that work. That's pretty cool. Through sign language, you can hear God's word and seek to follow it in your heart. If you've been hurt by the church, you got to make sure that your ears work. You need to hear God's call for you to return and restore relationships. Don't suppress God's call to return. Don't ignore the scriptures that urgently call you to be reconciled and reunited with those who hurt you. Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, if you're there at the altar and you remember, oh, my brother's got something against me, what are you supposed to do? Leave your gift, first go and be reconciled, then come back, give the gift to God. How would you feel? Well, let me tell you one more scripture before we go on to this. Colossians chapter 3:13. This is so clear. It says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If anyone has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." Those are your marching orders. Somebody sinned, forgive them. How? The same way God forgives you. How would you feel if one day you woke up and God verbally said to you, "I decided to no longer forgive you. The last thing you did really angered me, Jerry, so we're over. Don't come to my house anymore. Don't call me. We're through." For those of you who know Taylor Swift, some of her songs, she has one song, "We're Never Ever Getting Back Together." How would you like it if God said that to you? "We're done. Christian, sorry, I'm not forgiving you from this point forward." I think we'd all say this evening, we'd be devastated. Why is it that we never would expect God to say that to us, but when we're hurt, we'll say that to our brothers and sisters who Christ has died for? We would say to them, "Hey, I'm done with you. I'm leaving the church." Well, the Bible gives us two options when we're hurt. We either cover over in love, or we confront and forgive in love. I think I'm messing up your mic. 1 Peter 4:8 says this, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins." Brothers and sisters, I know you do that. Praise God that you do, because I don't think this church would exist if you hadn't covered over a multitude of each other's sins. You know, the people I met going door to door, some of them told me that the church had hurt them. Some of those offenses were very small and very petty. One person had said, I called the pastor and he never called me back. Oh boy, that's sad. I'm sad to hear that. You know, how long did you wait before you tried calling him back? Well, I never called him back. Well, how long did you wait? 3 hours. Or somebody said, I asked the worship team if they would include one of my favorite hymns. And we never sung it. We haven't sung it yet. And so you left the church. Brothers and sisters, learn to cover over small offenses. Teach your children to do things like this, because guess what? They're the next generation of the church. They can learn pettiness from their parents. They can learn pettiness from the previous generation. But someday you're going to have to confront. Matthew 18 says, if your brother sins, sometime you're going to have to go and show your brother his fault, just between the two of you, so that you can win him over. But pastor, I don't feel like forgiving them. They keep doing it over and over again. You don't understand the gravity of this. You don't understand the depth of the hurt. Now let's go back to Luke 17 that we began our sermon with. That's why Jesus says, if your brother sins against you 7 times in a day, here's the marching orders, you must forgive him. No options. Your marching order from the Lord Jesus is do it, forgive. When the apostles heard Jesus' command, they thought, that's way too big of an order. So they knew that they were deficient in doing it. They didn't want to do it. And so they said, increase our faith. Maybe that's what will make us want to do this or change our attitude. And Jesus put their excuse to rest. You don't need more faith, guys. You just need to be obedient. And he tells them this story. He says, suppose God gave you the job of uprooting mulberry trees. I don't even know if Michigan has it. I didn't research that. But mulberry trees have a deep and wide root system. They're not easy to yank out of the ground. You're going to need some heavy machinery. More than a shovel, folks. And God says, but if that was your job to do it, he says, if you had faith smaller than the size of a BB, head of a pin, it would miraculously be uprooted and you could plant it in the middle of Lake Michigan or Lake Wabasis. It would be done for you. The smallest amount of faith would make the tree obey. If that's what God wanted you, something supernatural, something humanly impossible, it could be done. But your job is not the mulberry miracle movers. That's not your job. The text tells you your job is to forgive your brothers over and over again. It's not that supernatural as you think. You don't need more faith. You just need to obey this duty, whether you feel like it or not. It's about your feelings. Jesus then tells the story back in Luke 17, verse 7. So picture a servant. He's plowing all day long. He's out in the fields for 8, 10, 12 hours. It's hot and tiring work. He's sweaty. He drags himself back to the master's house. And he'd like to sit down and have something cold to drink. He would like to have a good home-cooked meal. And every bone in his body says, I'm done for the day. And then he hears the master's voice say, no, you're not. I have something you have to do. Oh, what is that, master? Go in the kitchen, cut up the vegetables, slice up the meat, cook it all for me. And yeah, I don't want you coming with that work clothes into the kitchen, into the dining area, so clean up and wait on me. Be a waiter. I don't want to do that. I'm exhausted. What are you thinking? I'm not a robot. I'm not a machine. I can't do all that. And then he says, and wait. And then when I'm finally done eating, that's when you can eat. But master, that's like 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock. I got to get up tomorrow and continue to get back out in the fields and plow all over again. Isn't that unfair? Jesus said, you were told to forgive, even when you don't feel like it. You need to obey. Even when you feel like saying, but that hurt person hurt me so bad, I want to just give them one right on the square of their jaw. He says, no, you must forgive them. And Jesus doesn't have to thank you when you have been merciful. You simply did what he told you to do because you belong to him. People have left the church because they are hurt. I bet a lot of those people didn't hear and they didn't want to obey Jesus' call to forgive.
So, Pastor, why did you preach this message today for people who aren't here? That's a good question. It's kind of like, yeah, you're preaching to the choir tonight. You're preaching to people who haven't left the church. See, I'm here. Take roll call. Well, there are two reasons why I have. First one is I want to equip you. Look at this passage and think of someone that you could share this with that you know left the church because they were hurt. Or pray, Lord, if you bring somebody across my path who has left the church, tells me this, remind me of what I could share with them about how they could deal with their hurt. First thing you could do is you could listen to them. You could listen to their hurt. Some of them have legitimate beefs. Remember what Steve read from Ezekiel. God is angry with those shepherds and those people. Some may need help for you to take their complaint to their previous churches or a church here. Lead them to an elder. But you do want to remind them, God didn't leave when he was hurt. But he's promised never to leave you, never to forsake you. And he wants you to imitate the kind of commitment he has to his body. Help them to see that they're only hurt themselves further by staying away. They're not going to give God glory. They're not going to enjoy sweet fellowship with God's family. And a second reason I'm preaching this tonight is to protect you. You who are here. You who did hear this message. Because someday, someone here at Cedar Church will hurt you and may even hurt you very deeply.
I pray that doesn't happen. But after everything you've heard tonight, how will you respond to that temptation to want to flee? Will you be like God who forgives, who calls you to forgive, who says you must forgive? Will you persevere in love with your brothers and sisters? 1 Corinthians 13 says, love never fails. Couldn't help somehow this morning as I was driving to church. Must be Michigan roads. Somehow at Mother's Day, Forrest Gump jumped in my head. You know, life is like a box of chocolates. And I started thinking, you know, the church is like Michigan roads. It's full of damaging potholes and irritating orange cones. There are people in the church that will damage friendships, relationships. There are people who will irritate you. But in heaven, the streets will be permanently flawless and beautiful, streets of gold. The church that hurts now will one day be transformed to perfection. We are so much under construction. And I'm sorry when I hurt you or others hurt you. And we want to stop. We want to bless. We want to love. We want to enjoy unity with one another. So don't leave. Some of the people that have left may have left for wrong reasons, but here's the other thing. Some that left probably never knew Jesus. Maybe that's an important question to have asked them. Is Jesus really your Savior? How could you leave Jesus? He just didn't leave his people. How could you leave the one who died for you? Well, let's pray. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the hope you give us, the help. We pray, Father, maybe even tonight, if you have convicted any of us too, to change, or maybe to go to somebody we know we've offended. Lord, rescue those that are around us, some who have, again, legitimate grievances, who have been dealt with unjustly. We pray that they would be able to give voice to someone who cares and who will advocate for them. God, you are a just God too. Your justice are higher than the mountains. We pray that we would give justice to those who cry out. But Father, for those who have left for petty reasons or even the unbelievers we thought really belonged to you, help us to go after those who have been lost. Help us to lead them back to you. Help us to honor you in the church. We want you so much to receive glory here at Cedar. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, a newer church in Jenison, Michigan, belonging to a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Our weekly Sunday services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, please feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or at the church website.